The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, we implore you to hear the prayers of your people. Be our strong defense against all harm and danger, that we may live and grow in faith and hope through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. I'm Pastor Bill again. Let me ask you, did anybody this week get any cuts or scratches?
Yeah.
You did? And you did? Me? I had a small one, but it's almost all gone right now, so yeah. You did? Yeah. And when you get a cut or a scratch, what do your mom and dad usually do? What do they put on it?
A Band-Aid?
I
didn't even put anything
on it. Nothing on it? Sometimes you can do that. Sometimes they put some medicine on it, right? And do your mom or dads ever give you a kiss on the wound where you got a cut? Sometimes they do that too. So which one do you think helps you get better the best? The Band-Aid, the medicine, or the kiss? Which one? Actually, you stole my sermon here, my children, so you're right on that. She said it doesn't make any difference. And it's true. Do you know what makes you better is you. God has made your body in such a way that when you get something like a cut or a scratch, your body heals itself. That's amazing, isn't it? They put a Band-Aid on to keep germs out, and they put medicine on to kill bad germs. But mostly, It's your body that does this healing all by itself. It's almost like a miracle, isn't it? Look at that one. You can hardly tell that I had a cut there. That was from a rose bush that I had ran into this week. See, it's almost all gone. So, you know what? I think Jesus knew a lot about these secret things that God has put into us of how our body heals. He knows a lot about healing. Today there's a story we're going to read that Jesus hears about a 12-year-old girl. Anybody here 12? No? And she's really sick. And Jesus goes, he doesn't give her a kiss on her wound. He does take her hand, though. And the Bible tells us, like a miracle, the little girl is healed. So there's miracles we have to celebrate. And you've got some of them right in your own body that God has given you. So let's have a word of prayer to how God has put these gifts in us. And I've got a little something to share with you too then. Let's have a prayer first. Dear God, we give you thanks that you work in us in mysterious ways. And one of the ways you do that, Lord, is teaching our bodies how to heal themselves. We are grateful for so many doctors and nurses and other people who help us to heal. But we know that the power for healing is yours, that you have shared with us. This we give in You give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's see. I did bring Band-Aids today. In case everybody want a Band-Aid? Okay. I brought some fun ones for us to get here. So we'll see if we got them all here. I'll tell you what. If you want to put them, you can either take it home with you, or if you want to put it on now, you can put it on. They'll give you that one. You can put it on a wound that you got. You can let this be a reminder to you that God has given your body a power to heal. So if you're going to take it with you, or if you're going to put it on, take the pieces of paper with you, and you can put them in the trash afterwards. So, okay? Let that be a reminder to you of Jesus and God's love for you and how he wants to keep you healthy. Okay, you can... Thank you.
The first reading is from Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust, there may yet be hope, to give one's cheek to the smiter and be filled with insults. For the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 130 responsively. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand? I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your word is my hope. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption.
For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians. Now as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too little, and the one who had little did not have too little. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel this day comes to us from the Gospel of Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at a point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and alive." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned around to the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. And then he put them outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated.
Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please don't interrupt me. You probably have said that to your spouse, right, every now and then, or your spouse has said it to you or to your children and they've said it back to you at the same time. We don't like to be interrupted sometimes. The spiritual writer Henry Nouwen, in one of his books, wrote of a professor that he knew who wrote this: "You know, my whole life I've been complaining that my work was constantly being interrupted until I discovered that the interruptions were my work." In the gospel lesson today, Jesus gets interrupted twice. He's ready to teach this huge crowd of people. First one is this leader in the synagogue, Jairus, who comes to plead for his daughter. We're told that she's 12 years old. That's very young, 12 years. In that culture, in that time, that would have been close to marrying age, when she might have started her own family, in fact. Life might have just been beginning for her. And we all know that one of the hardest things any parent has to face is the possibility of the death of one of their children. Whoops. I want to interrupt this sermon a minute, because there's somebody else who would like to talk with you. It's another leader in the synagogue or the church. Her name is Elizabeth Eaton. She's the bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. She recently had a letter to all of us churches, reminding us that there are 9 million children who are going hungry right now in the world. They say that about every 10 seconds, a child dies of hunger somewhere in the world. Bishop Eaton wants us to respond. Particularly, she invites us to respond on the 21st of the month, coming up in a couple of weeks now. Why the 21st? She and others have picked that day and asked you to fast and pray on that day. And it's because, on average, 90% of the families who get SNAP assistance, that's in our country, the food assistance that they get, they run out of their benefits by the 21st of the month. So the last week of the month is almost always searching for food, finding other ways to be able to support a family. Our bishop is asking us to respond to the need that's out there. 9 million. How do we respond to 9 million children? We're told that Jesus went with Jairus. Have you gone with Elizabeth? And I want to tell you, you have. You already announced several ways this morning in which you're part of the Lutheran Social Service food drive right now. You support TACO, responding to people. No, it does not reach 9 million people, but it reaches some. It is a place to start. God has a way of multiplying the little efforts we will do and turning them into big results. You know, when Jesus was there, there were other children, I am sure, that were also dying in that time. Jesus responded to this one, the one whose Father brought his attention to him. The work of the Holy Spirit has a way of interrupting our lives sometimes, sometimes calling us to respond in very small ways. And yet the Holy Spirit is able to do amazing things. Let me interrupt your life again here. There's someone asking for you. Her name is Kamalinda Beatriz. She's 28 years old. She's from Honduras. She has already had her husband and one of her children killed by gangs in Honduras. And she has fled her home country and arrived here seeking safety and asylum. Upon arrival, she was hoping that her 10-month-old daughter that she was bringing with her would find a welcome. But they were separated at the border. And she's asking for your help to find her child and then to help them find a place for safety for that child again. Have you gone with her? I want to tell you again, you have. You just announced that one of the organizations you support here is Casa Cornelia, that deals exactly with those kind of situations. It's a way you can be there when you physically can't be there. But I also want you to know that we have this Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. It is one of the oldest and most trusted immigration agencies in our country. And their specialty now is children who have been separated from their parents. And that's where that story came from this day. Yes, there's lots of needs out there. We can't respond to all of them. But in some ways, all the gospel is doing today is asking to respond to the one that sometimes presents itself to us. So here's Jesus, and he's on a 911 call, going to try to do something for this 12-year-old girl that's dying. And then he gets interrupted again. This time, it's by a woman who's been suffering from hemorrhaging, bleeding, for we're told 12 years. Interesting, the child is 12 years old. This woman has been suffering for 12 years. Interesting, we learn that she apparently is a woman of means and of wealth. She has been paying doctors to try to heal her and has gone broke in doing that. That's such a familiar story. You also have learned today that you support TACO, and I'm sure some of you have been there to serve meals at TACO. The number one reason that people fall into poverty in our country is usually medical issues that deplete their assets, and they end up poor. And what happens then, like this woman, you become also an outcast then, on the outside. In fact, with her disease, she is called unclean. You know, in those days, there were really two biggies that made somebody unclean: blood and death. And people avoided those situations. We don't quite know how to relate to that. We don't have that same category. Yes, we've had things like AIDS that we've dealt with where we're greatly concerned about blood. And we've had things like hepatitis A that we are very careful about health. But we never really label somebody unclean in that. This woman comes to Jesus knowing that she has been labeled unclean, probably perceiving herself as unworthy, just wants to touch Jesus' robe in order to be healed. Jesus' response is not to call her unclean. Jesus says to her, "Daughter, you have been healed." He reminds her that she has always been part of the family of God, a daughter in the child in the kingdom of God. And that's how he greets this woman who has fear even to approach him. Like the lesson from Lamentations, we have learned Jesus is the one who is this marker of God, full of compassion and steadfast love, even for someone who finds himself in a situation like that. Let me interrupt this sermon for another story that maybe actually gets at that thought of being unclean in a different way. Father Gregory Boyle is a priest, Catholic priest in Los Angeles. He's written a book called Tattoos on the Heart. Anybody read it here? I recommend it if you want to read it. He was called to a parish in Los Angeles. And it was the parish that was in the neighborhood that had a reputation of being the worst gang violence in the country. In fact, he tells a story that one of his first tasks there was a funeral of a gang member. And it was a moving experience for him because he did the funeral for this young man who was laying there in the casket, and he had an identical twin brother who was at the funeral and standing there at the casket. And Father Boyle said, it was like looking in a mirror. Or more importantly, he said, it's like looking at a resurrection. And that led him to say, you know, what's needed here is God's unconditional love for these gang members. And so he began a ministry of going onto the street and into the jails with those gang members. He didn't have to do that for too long because soon the gang members started to come to him. He was announcing to them that somehow they were part of the family of God, and that was far more important than being part of the family of the gangs that were there. Now, these are young men with blood on their hands. Almost every one of them has been involved in violence somehow. Some of them have even killed people. They are ones who sell drugs to children. They are ones who disrupt neighborhoods and rob innocent people. And yet Father Boyle believes somehow the unconditional love of God was aimed at them and went and, in a sense, took their hand, this unclean hand. His book is full of the stories of those young men that found new life. The first instruction he has to them is get rid of the tattoo. You know, to go to try to find a job when you've got a foul word printed on your forehead is never going to work. But it also was a sign of dying to the gangs, getting rid of that tattoo. Now, the stories he tells, so many of them are now married and parents and have children of their own and want their children to grow up well. I'm sure most of them would say, how could God love me? Fathers Boyle's message to them was, God's joy has always been loving you. Welcome back to the family of God. So now here's this woman who touches Jesus' robe. Now Jesus is unclean too by the standards of that day. What's he going to do? He's being welcomed into a leader of the temple, of the synagogue's home. He would have to go through a purification route, circumstance before he could come into that house. And yet he goes anyway, in spite of being warned at this point that the child has died, don't bother. He still goes in. And he does one of those other things you're not supposed to do, touches someone who's dead. But he says she is not dead. It's as though she is sleeping, and takes her hand and she finds new life. Reminds us of those times when we have hit places in our lives where we feel like there's nowhere else to go. God reaches out with his hand at that point to say, "Precious Lord, take my hand." Maybe we learn from this that healing is more about knowing that you always belong and that you are always an heir to the unconditional love of God than it is about always getting better. Even this 12-year-old girl, although we don't know her history, probably died at 30 or at 45 or at 60. What the assurance is that God was just as firmly holding her hand then as he was when he was with her and Jesus. So yes, lots of children are probably going to die today. Some of them could have been helped by surgeries or medicines that we didn't get to them. Some of them just need food. Some of their death and illnesses we will never learn about. We'll never know what happened to them. We can't respond to all of them. And yet that in itself is not a sign that God is not taking their hand in whatever circumstance they find themselves. Jesus welcomes these interruptions in his life. In some ways, they become the occasion when he can share the kingdom of God, give witness to how God is working with people, even if it's only one, a 12-year-old girl or a woman who's had this disease for 12 years. Many children who are 12 years old today will experience miracles. They will get medical care. They may have a CPR team that comes out and rescues them from an emergency situation. God has given us this marvelous gift of sharing in his healing ability and desire. And he asks us to share that, even when it's in very limited circumstances, when we can only respond to one. What we learn is that Christ and God can work through the little efforts that we give out, even if it's responding to just that one interruption in our life. God can use that. Just to close, you probably all heard the story this past 2 weeks ago, I think it was. David and Charlotte Willman were so moved by the stories of parents and children being separated at the border that they decided to help with just one. They thought they would raise money to get that one parent out of jail so that they could then go and find their child. And their goal was to raise $1,500. In 1 week, this was on Facebook, they raised $15 million. And now they're helping to distribute that to other organizations that can help parents out on bail so that they can go and find their children that have been separated from them. When we are open to letting interruptions into our life, even sometimes when they don't feel welcome in the beginning, we just might see miracles. Amen.